Hey guys, it's Jenna Elfman from Fear the Walking Dead. I play Laura. No, I play Naomi. No, I play June. I play June on Fear the Walking Dead. And you're listening to the Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, I'm Lindsley Register and I play Laura on The Walking Dead. You're listening to the Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, this is Ross Marquand and you're listening to the Walking Dead Talk Through.
Awesome.
Hey, this is Nick Stahl, and you're listening to Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through.
Cool.
Survivors, welcome to episode 94 of the Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Kyle.
And I'm LT.
And I'm Brian.
Yay!
No!
No! Brian is back.
Oh! I am back.
Yes. So happy that you're here.
Finally wandered out of the wasteland from his hideaway in the dugout at Diamond Stadium.
Yeah.
Brian has come back to the apocalypse.
Yeah, I dug myself out of the crater and
jumped into the atomic pinto.
Yep.
Or made one.
Yep. Stop looking for Ophelia.
Yes. Oh, so happy you're back though. This is awesome.
Yeah, I finally caught up. I caught up with both shows, and definitely wanted to get back into the swing of things with the apocalypse because, you know, I need something bright and shiny and hopeful in my life. So what can bring that to me than an apocalypse? And especially this show that has two apocalypses in it.
Oh, yeah.
We're chock full, 110% of your FDA requirements for apocalypse.
Yep.
Oh, well, hopefully this means there are some good things coming because so far it's been kind of slogging through.
I hope so. I hope so. Because, like, I will say, you know, since I've been away, did I miss the whole 11B or did I just miss part of 11B? I can't remember. I think I missed all of it, didn't I?
I think you did.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So I will say that, you know, I fell, not only did I stop recording with you guys, but I actually fell behind on the show. And it was only, you know, this weekend that I finally caught up. And this was not the right time to fall behind on The Walking Dead because it was a phenomenal, part season. And especially, I'd say the last, you know, four or five episodes I thought were just fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, that one episode with the where they went to where they see Negan and crazy guy Carlson, you know, pops up. Mm-hmm. One guy. That was a phenomenal episode. I love that episode. And then the rest, you know, it's really gotten good.
Yeah, it was like, it was, because that's what we were saying or talking about too. It's like, it seemed like there's the very beginning of 11B, it was kind of like, oh, okay, that's great, you know, what's going on or whatever, but then it just kept picking up and picking up and picking up, and it was just like, oh, this is what we've been missing. So
and we kept saying, where was this when we needed it?
I understand
it's the end of the road, but if they're capable of this now, why weren't they capable of this? Oh, I don't know. What, 7, 8, perhaps?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just, they needed to do what they needed to do, I guess. But, you know, it's like any other show. It goes through its moments, its, you know, periods where the show is not quite connecting. And you know, they need to make a change. And, you know, when Angela Kang came on, I think the show has been that much better. And I think You know, season 10C, not so great. But if you think about it, that wasn't so great because it wasn't supposed to be in the first place. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like a normal, you know, part season because
right.
it couldn't be. Right. And I think
right.
people's expectations were, oh, these are, you know, going to be just like the regular episodes. Well, in many ways, they were kind of like anthology. Most of them were kind of like anthology episodes versus, you know, being mm-hmm. full, you know, right. episodes that we're used to, especially like the Here's Negan episode was more like a standalone you know, like mm-hmm. like yeah. an anthology episode for that, like Tales of the Walking Dead, versus, you know, something else. But anyway, so The Walking Dead, you know, 11B was really good, especially the last, you know, half. The first three episodes of Fear, I have to say I didn't mind that first episode with Alicia too much. I liked the guy that played the deaf character. Mm-hmm. I thought he was good. I thought them using sound like that was new. So I didn't mind that episode too much. I kept on watching the previous episode though, thinking of, and especially at the end when Charlie, you know, got sick, and I kept thinking, oh, Kyle's going to love this. And then I also kept thinking two things. It's like, Charlie, how did your hair get so nice in the apocalypse? It's like, have you been like going to Alicia's stylist? Because she's actually
she found some conditioner on the submarine.
Yeah, definitely. And then I thought myself, 13? Really? 13? You're just turning 13? I mean, I know she's not that. She's what? Probably what? 15 or something like that.
She's 16, I think, 16 going on 17.
Okay, okay. So okay, that's my point. It's like she's no 13 year old, so it's like trying to put her as a 13 year old was a little crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I think Kyle and I had that same conversation.
So and I just, you know, I thought that kid, you know, Ali, whose father is Muhammad. I'm like, oh my God. It's like, I needed this when I was listening to it, you know? But aside from that, like, I just thought that, it was kind of really dumb, you know, not, I'm like, really? They're doing that? Really?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and you were right in thinking that I was happy that Charlie's going.
Of course you were.
But in last week's podcast, though, it was just like, I because I want Madison to be the one to kill her. And now it's seeming yeah. like that's not going to be the option. You know, that's not going to happen. She's possibly going to die before, or Madison will forgive her or something, or I don't know. It's just,
well, and of course I was still doing the, you leave Charlie alone.
Well, and the other thing I kept thinking of for last week's episode was, this is like World Beyond Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, it's like, we haven't gotten enough teenage love in the apocalypse. So, you know, well, let's look at that again.
Yes. In a bowling alley, their first date.
In a bowling alley, you know, it's like, you know, Enid and Carl, you know, or Charlie and Ali and, you know.
Yeah. The kids.
All the various, love. You know.
WB.
Yeah.
And you know, it's and of course, right up to the point where, like I've already said, she's sitting there in the afterglow of the moment in her young teenage romance, staring out the window and watches her boyfriend plummet past, screaming. It's yeah. like, thank you, Walking Dead, for bringing us another tender moment of romance.
Yeah, they definitely do like tossing people over that over that tower, don't they?
Yeah.
That seems to be their preferred method of execution.
And yet somehow people aren't surprised when they get called up to the roof.
And yet they did that again. They did the, excuse me. They did that on Walking Dead too, on that,
yep,
on that one episode. They were tossing people over, you know.
Somebody's got their, you know, getting their Hans Gruber on. And I think the comment that I had made and at some point was, as much as Discovery loves eye trauma, it seems The Walking Dead has suddenly embraced, you know, chucking people off of buildings.
Yeah. Yeah, seems that way.
An exposing how gravity works.
Well, it's defenestration. That's the word I was looking for.
Defenestration?
Defenestration.
Hmm.
That's basically chucking things off buildings.
I didn't even know there was a word for that. But
well, we're not anything but culture here, Brian.
Well, all right. Well, let's continue on. As we do have some feedback from about last week's episode, season 7, episode 10, titled Morning Cloak, and comes from none other than the wonderful Erin from the internet. And I'll just go ahead and start. She started off, she's like, I, for one, am getting a little tired of meeting new people if this is how they're going to treat them. And that was a quote from me. And she was saying, she said, second, I mean, Allie had it coming given the episode, so I'm not mad about him, but I would hate for interesting people like Paul to keep coming in to only be in an episode and then die. Will be interesting to see if this track continues, because in this episode, we met some new people, didn't we? Like in the, I guess we'll talk about it later, so we'll just continue on.
Yep. We met them and they died.
Right. Some of the Arnon's people or yes. Whatever.
Actually, not all of them died. Not all of them.
No. Oh, well, anyways, she goes on. She says, these are podcast comments. And so she says, this is where we need to keep Lenny James in the director chair, because this episode was well put together. Yes, this is a new mission. We bring back Kim full time, or let Alicia carry it as she should have been doing for the years Kim wasn't, and Lenny can direct the episode so he's still around, but Morgan is not. This is a win-win all around, I feel. Smiley face. She's like, ha, June steps up only when it suits her. Otherwise, she just hangs out in the background until she wants something personally. Aw, man, LT, you have me thinking about how, what if Alicia and Strand and Morgan, because they shove him in even though he shouldn't be in this fight, are battling, and Howard tries to take Strand out to be the next big dog as he sees it at the tower, and that's how Strand goes out. It's not by Alicia, but by somebody or someone of his own making. Kind of. It would fit, but it's kind of like Charlie this episode. Yeah, we wanted you dead a long time, but this isn't exactly how we wanted to take you out. So maybe Strand will kill off Howard before then, so he weakens in allies for when Alicia comes storming in and they fight.
You know, the one thing I didn't bring up in my comments earlier is, where the heck was Strand? You know, they kept saying, oh, he's out there, you know, trying to, you know, secure the tower or whatever, but like, what the heck was he doing? There was no real explanation as to what he was doing.
Yeah. And then, but then he even like, was it Howard that said it was just like, oh, he like left his Rangers, like took off and left them to go deal with whatever the issue was, which they end up finding, oh, they're all dead. So she goes on, she says, 100% agree, Emma. The fast-paced romance between Allie and Charlie felt weak as it could be. I can get he might like her and might do some stupid stuff, such as reveal information to her, but to come back for her when he was out and he wants to prove himself as a ranger? No. Even if he did it for love, he wouldn't be busting out the butterflies for her. That was a step too far. Maybe they could have something with time, but they were never getting that time, so the romance was the weakest part of the episode to me. Yeah, and I thought it was stupid that it was stupid, or just also was like, wait, so he let all of Strand's butterflies out. Like that already seems like you were already asking to be killed. It just made no sense.
How dare you let go of my butterflies? They are my style and color.
All right, next she says, LL to the Bill franchise plan for Texas. Every month, LT has to come up with a new business for Bills. Smiley face. Team Kilmer as Holiday. Smiley face. Alicia has all the sick makeup money. Ha. I will agree with you, Nick, or LT, that Nick was boring compared to others on the show, so I wasn't sad to see him go either. And then she says, he was never as horrible as Chris, but still never in my top three.
No one was as horrible as Chris. No.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris was just,
it was funny. Annoying. I was on AMC Plus a couple weeks ago, I think it was while I was trying to catch up, and I went and looked on the Walking Dead channel, and what was playing on there was a Fear episode with Chris, and I'm just like, oh God, you know, it's like all the feelings of hatred came back.
He was just
awful.
He was just really annoying. Yes. Like he was just like this. It's like, I lost my mommy and I don't want to like listen to you guys. And I'm like supposed to be like, I don't even remember how old he was supposed to be. Like
16, 17,
15, or
doesn't matter. Whatever it was an annoying age.
Yeah. She goes on. She says, and I like Charlie as a character, but she has to go. She's like Strand in that she's done too much to not get something. Ha. Huh. Also, she's becoming far too capable at jobs. So, you know, in order to jack up the difficulty for characters, she has to go. I took it as Ali was seeing his dad or whoever was in the bowling photo in the zombie with the military gear on. It looked like military clothes anyway, so it wasn't just random. He couldn't shoot it. He had a reason, so I was okay with the freeze as poorly timed as it was. Which, if I didn't see any photo that he was looking at, or was he looking at that before? He was.
It was in one of the linger cuts. He was looking at a photo, okay. But
when he cut away to move off, you kind of saw the picture on the left side of the right. frame, and it was okay. Like with the. On the bulletin board with all the other pictures of the bowlers, and they kind of lingered on it for a second and then moved off. And you couldn't really see too much. Okay. You know, cause it was just a lot of people in ugly bowling shirts, but
right.
You kind of got the impression that he saw somebody he knew,
which would again be interesting that he had keys to that bowling alley to go hide there. So this means he's never been there since. The fall.
No, I don't think so because of the shotgun, but anyway,
just right. Just okay. Yeah. He just conveniently just never saw that one before. Anyways. And she goes, I want an eye for an eye, damn it. She's like, LOL. I agree. Alicia accepting her will never make sense. It's one thing to let her in the group because she needs bodies for help doing tasks, but to forgive her for killing her brother, especially after you can argue she helped kill her mom in Alicia's eyes, there's no way Alicia would be buddies with her. And then she goes, quote, I'll meet you at the parking lot, end quote, LT. So wrong, but so right, too. Crying face. And now we all want cake. Then she goes, how is the plan just not to break the glass on the beacon? That seems to have issues finding even basic supplies now, so a busted light would be a real issue. You could do that from a range. That's true. You think that Morgan and all them probably have some kind of a ranged weapon from on the sub?
Now, you might have to plunk at that big Fresnel lens more than once, but it is made out of glass.
And doing it from distance, you could be basically taken swipes at it every evening. Mm-hmm. And they would not. Oh gosh, Aaron, stop trying to bring any kind of common like sense in this. That just, it's better just to let Ollie do it.
Yeah.
And then she says, let's be honest, Kyle, even if Felicia didn't direct the next episode, she still wouldn't be in it because they don't use her like they should. Angry face. They tout her once every four episodes to keep her ratings going, but they don't really write for her. If they wrote for her, she wouldn't have gotten bit because real Alicia would have known not to go in the tunnel, and we would have sure stabbed the zombie with a pipe she easily had close by. But that's a discussion from last time. Ha. And given it's called Ophelia, I wonder if Mercedes will guest star in it as Vision Ophelia. That would be cool. All right. Well, thank you, Aaron, as now you'll get an answer to that question.
I think she already knows.
Yep. All right. Well, this week's episode is Fear the Walking Dead Season 7, Episode 11, titled Ophelia, written by Alex Delisle and David Johnson, and directed by Alicia Dedham Carey. Description from AMC Plus is Luciana and Wes test the limits of their patience when Daniel's worsened mental state ends up endangering them all. All right. Well, that takes us into our ratings. Brian, since you are back, do you want to start first?
I didn't pay attention to the credits, so I'll just say that for this being her directorial debut, I thought that she did a really good job of this. So there was that, but there were some aspects of the episode, particularly of you know, how they've written, especially one character in particular, negatively, that it takes down my rating of the episode. So I give it 8.5. How many actors want off the show? Because I'm starting to wonder, you know, because
yeah,
this seems to point at Ruben Blades or Blades. You know, I got my eye on Alicia Dedham Carey from last week. I got my eye on Alexa Nissenson. And who knows who else will want off here by the end. You know, in the end, it'll probably be Kim Dickens and a host of other actors she's not been on the show with.
Yeah. It's like, who wants off the non-sinking submarine?
Like even Colby Holman after this episode, you know, and you know, this is his first like real acting gig. I have to wonder, maybe he wants off the show too. And you want off the show, and you want off the show, and you want off the show.
Everybody gets off the show.
Yep. So
all right. Well, I'll go to my ratings, and I gave it an 8. The tower is the safe place. It's like there's a whole big, intact, empty bunker out there, people. Why the hell do you leave it in the first place? Still not understanding any of that.
The question we keep asking ourselves week after week.
And it was brought up, well, yeah, Wes goes there. Mm-hmm. Says it's safe. Anyways, LT.
Yes, well, what did you give? I think we've kicked that dead horse about every week. As much as I thought she did a good job directing, you just can't work your way out of what was written, and there were some rough edges to some plot points that sort of drug it down for me. So I gave it a 7.8 out of 10. Ophelia, you're breaking my heart.
Yeah, I didn't say anything about the writing. You know, I said that the directing was good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Especially for it to be your first one.
Yep. Yeah, it's two different sides of that coin. Well,
yeah. It's definitely going to make her more marketable.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, then that takes us into our listeners' ratings. So our first one actually comes from Glynis from Toronto, and she gives it a 7 out of 10 Jaws.
And our next listener rating comes from Mike from Asheville, who gives it a 7 out of 10 sucky people.
And by the way, Mike, I saw what you said, and thank you so much, because I don't think we've had a chance to ever interact, but thank you for your kind words.
Yes.
Aaron from the internet. Hi, Aaron. It's nice to, we've been talking over email, but anyway, Aaron from the internet, she gives it a 4 out of 5.
Yep.
And yes, by the way, I want to say, hopefully I'm back for the rest of the season. So I'm not, this isn't a one shot. This is hopefully I'm here for the rest of the season.
Yay.
And all that unfortunately means.
Right.
Yay.
Suffering the misery with these guys. So
yes.
Anyway,
we're all suffering together.
Yes.
We'll suffer together. Shared trauma.
Well, hopefully it gets better. Anyways, hope. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you everyone for your ratings. Let's get into our awesome sauce.
Awesome sauce.
All right. Our first awesome sauce comes from Glennis from Toronto, and she says, Are no longer lowered into the sea of walkers.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Lowered into the sea of walkers in a shark cage and legs devoured by walker jaws. I'm sure Arno did worse things for Teddy and killed lots of people and forced others to his tree of life that the Senator Walker was tried to in that bunker to be returned or whatever the phrase those psychos termed it.
Yeah, we've got some... Our awesome sauce from Mike from Asheville, who says, using a salvage yard with boats up on stilts as a base. It was unique, but also kind of smart. Closest we've gotten to seeing a community living in tree houses. And he goes on to say, Spanish speaking. I like it when a show allows actors to speak another language. It made complete sense in this situation. The reasoning behind it that grounds Daniel is realistic. Beyond that, though, he and Luciana would probably be speaking Spanish to each other quite a bit, since it is their first language.
Mm-hmm. One thing I will mention here, though, is we did see a lot of, not so much stilts, but we saw those kids up in a treehouse kind of thing, which, of course, I have to now bring up the point of, you know, and yes, it was stupid for them to be in season 5, but where are those kids? What happened to those kids?
Yes.
They're just simply gone. You know, they all get eaten up or they get, burned at Tank Town or what happened to them?
Right.
Who knows? But anyway, but
put them out to pasture somewhere
in
Texas.
They're off in their van now that they've done all the Mad Max modifications to it. running the wasteland like extras in a Mel Gibson movie.
Aaron from the internet has two. She says, the fact half this episode is in Spanish because Luciana is clearly speaking it to help Daniel remember it, and speaking in his native language probably helps him remember easier. So they're giving him the best shot they can. And then secondly, the callbacks to season 2 with Daniel remembering Strand's ship were nice also. Yeah. I thought of that, the Abigail and it was kind of also sad too. The thoughts of that, which all, mentioned in my sad sauce later, but I liked aspects of that. So
yeah. All right, well, thank you for your awesome sauces. Do you want to go, because I think we might have some of the same stuff, but do you want to take off with your awesome sauce?
Sure. Well, I mean, I didn't write too much down, but Shades of the Old Daniel. I mean, Daniel was the most interesting character on the show, and especially in the first season and a half of the show, he was the most interesting character that CIA trained assassin, the capabilities, you know, that he had, that darkness, that yet, you know, he had, you know, Ophelia there, that he tried to, you know, keep some of that away from her. All of that was made him a very interesting character, and one that was always there doing something interesting to watch. And I love the that back and forth with Strand that he had.
Yeah,
he had a good relationship with Madison as well. And I, you know, knowing that Madison will be back, I had been hoping that, you know, maybe his memory would come back and they could, you know, revisit some of that. I don't know so much anymore, but we'll see. But it was nice to see shades of that back. Now I say that and I have to put severe asterisks next to that, because clearly, although we had shades of it, you know, like there's echoes of it, he's not the same guy. So
no.
Like I watched on AMC Plus the whole, you know, discussion of the episode, and they said, you know, that it's true, because I've seen this myself, like with my dad, when my dad was in his last couple years of his life, he remembered the long-term memory stuff and the short-term memory stuff, like, you know, where he was and things like that, weren't so easy for him to remember. But if you asked him, you know, like, what was he doing, you know, back in World War II, or, you know, if you got him back home when he, you know, left the hospital, when he was back home, he was great, because he knew where everything was. He, you know, he felt, you know, normal there. But you put him in the hospital and he was, you know, very disoriented. Anyway, so he's not the same guy anymore. So that part of it I don't like. But I just like to see that CIA guy and what he did to Arno. And this is my next positive, as I just simply said, Arno's chicken wings. So what he did to Arno, I love that. And when, you know, you see him there and I'm expecting Arno to be dead, and instead he's still alive. But then I'm like, okay, well, how can he still be alive? And then they cut back and we see his legs and they're, you know, they're all like chewed up like they were chicken wings.
Yeah.
So
the little stumpy bits.
Yeah, the little stumpy bits. So I thought that was just textbook Daniel. He would do something like that. And I just thought that was great. But that whole, how that thing went down and that, I thought was really, really good. And I like the, also, I guess I don't have it written down, but I also liked having the way that they had the walkers there, where it was kind of like, you know, they let them in and they kind of pulled them together. Cause I think it would be easier to bring in walkers, but like not let them out versus trying to keep them from coming in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that would be easier. So it's surprising that we haven't seen that kind of thing being done before, you know, like live above them and you know, let them kind of pool, you know, under you and, you know.
Well, it is the same kind of concept that Strand has going with the tower and what.
Right.
But when Arno said, you know, we can't get a fence to keep them out, so this way it doesn't matter.
Right.
And if you really wanted to get rid of them, you could either, you know, pike them from the catwalk or whatever their going outdoor is down on the ground. Do like they did at the prison, have a windmill that made noise.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's loud and clunky enough, the walkers will go to the noise. So you could draw them off if they were getting too many piling against the foundation or what have you. But it makes sense. It seems to me to be a good strategy, considering that walkers don't do stairs very well.
Right, exactly. And you can with stairs, you can kind of limit the access as well. So,
yep.
I think it's a good strategy. And plus, you can collect them. You know.
Yeah. And they were, you know, like, they showed that like what you're saying, it's like they were piking them from the above. And I guess the only thing is, like, you know, that's, as long as your foundation, yeah, was solid, then it's like, it should work. But then we've seen where you let too many of them get to like a certain area, you know, the force of them will eventually break through.
Right. Right. But it's also a security deterrent.
Right.
Because, you know, you've got a wall of walkers that hopefully will keep all the live meaty people away.
All right. Well, LT, why don't you take it next? What was your awesomes?
Okay. Well, since he already mentioned, I had to go ahead and say Arno. So here you are. We had such high hopes that you were going to be, you know, our second bad guy to cause some sort of external struggle between having to fight Arno and Strand. But no, you just weren't up to the task. You got stuck in a cage and got munched. The part with him too is, like, the more screen time he got, the less bad guy he became. Because there at the end, I'm kind of going, you know, since we quoted Tombstone last week, it's like that whole scene after Doc Holliday shoots Johnny Ringo. It's like, you're no Daisy at all. Is that I just expected Arno to be more bad guy than he was. And at the very end, it just went, meh.
Yeah, agree.
And, you know, I have awesome sauce that I was happy to see Daniel, because just like Brian was going on about, he was my favorite original character. And it was because, as you said, he had this badass side, but yet he was trying to say, you know, I'm just a barber with my family, trying to make my family survive. And then he would do something and you'd go, there's more to this guy. And the part that hurts me the most is when he was playing the addled old man in Lawton with Virginia, we knew that it was kind of an act. But now I'm kind of going, well, was it? Because when Morgan showed up in Lawton, Daniel snapped right out of it, and Daniel was Daniel. But now, you know, he's talking about the boat. It makes me wonder, does he remember that Strand shot him in the mouth?
You know, that's a good question.
Of all the things that's happened in the interim, you know, Strand shooting him at the dam and all the stuff that happened in Lawton and the way Strand acted and all the stuff with Morgan, and, you know, Daniel's covered a lot of ground with these guys, and the fact that he's back to the boat with Ophelia.
I don't know.
Is he going to still say that Victor is the guy that, you know, got him out of California?
I don't know. It seems to me that he does remember that. And he certainly seems to remember Strand and everything that kind of went through Strand. So he remembers that.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, and he is still on board with, like, we're going to the tower. Strand is there, and he's bad.
Yeah. Well, so, he does. But at the same time, you know, it does make you wonder what he remembers and what he doesn't. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like you had said, the whole thing of, he's going, these people are poorly trained, we can take them. you know, that's the Daniel that I want to see, but yet it's the fact that we're still dealing with somebody who's got some real problems going on because he's looking for his dead daughter. And that kind of segues into my next point. I've got this in Office and Sauce because I was just so happy to see Luciana that I think that this part was really meaty for her, and I enjoyed the interactions with her and Daniel. And I'm kind of seeing the mental calculus that she was performing when she said Ophelia's in the tower.
Yeah.
Is that mm-hmm. Yes, I'm pissed off at her because she's playing a very dangerous game with a very fragile old man that I really, really enjoy as a character.
Yeah.
But if you do the math, she's doing what she thinks needs to be done.
Yeah.
And she realizes that if she can channel old school badass Daniel to go after Strand, that is a force multiplier for the good guys. Mm-hmm. That even though she was kind of not happy with him doing it, the fact that Daniel killed that guy without much compunction, slit his throat there. And it wasn't like hesitation. It was like yink. Mm-hmm. So I see why she did it. I ain't necessarily happy that she did it, but you know, it's showing that she's thinking about, we'll pay the piper when the time comes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That the immediate need outweighs the fact that she's kind of messing with somebody who's in a bad way.
Yeah. And this was definitely a good episode for her. I could see why Wes wasn't too happy with her at all. Kind of surprised how he dealt with it, but
well, Wes, I think Wes is still, you know, he's still not quite to the point where his personal code is malleable.
I think he's idealistic.
Yeah, I think there's some definite right and wrong there, and he's going to be the one that kind of goes Boy Scout about this.
Yeah. Yeah, but at the same time, why run the Strand? He's the last guy that you would expect.
That's going to be, I'm going to have to gripe about that in a different sauce.
Okay.
But it's the fact that, you know, he's kind of going, you know, that's a crappy thing that you're doing to Daniel. But I was glad to see him. It was good to see his character back.
Yeah.
I know from the previews that we're going to see him again.
Yeah.
But anytime you have that, my first option when I'm pissed off is to go to the tower, because how many other people have gone to Strand and say, you know, I know what Morgan's doing. And I'm going, well, no shit, Sherlock. We all know what Morgan's doing.
Yeah.
He pretty much said so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like it's a state secret, kids.
Yeah.
And given the fact that Strand, you know, loves him, hates him so much that, it's kind of obvious. It's like big interstate billboard obvious.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, well, I never expected him to do that. You know, it's like,
and I'm like, really? Really?
Yeah. He
telegraphed that move like Alexander Graham Bell.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. You made me actually think of one other, you know, awesome sauce that I'll just mention. It's three words: Walker Shark Tanks.
Tanks.
Because that's exactly what it was. It was a shark tank. And, you know, so.
Yeah. They lowered them into. They were
lowering into a shark tank, you know, into the waters of Walker infested Texas, you know.
So, Goldfinger, do you expect me to talk? No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
Yes.
Obviously somebody saw a few old vintage spy movies for that one. It's like put him in the cage and go,
or you know, the or maybe a Jackass episode or movie.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Now I would have gone more for the Jackass if they'd like stapled his butt cheeks together or something. But
yep.
Well, I kind of had most of the same stuff as my awesome sauce because it was like. While I think the episode overall, I wouldn't say was like, oh, you know, it was awesome or whatever. But it was just like we got to see little glimpses of like the old Daniel back, which definitely was like a lot of fun to see because he had some really great one-liners. And then, yeah, he like totally slit that guy's throat in like 2 seconds. And it's kind of like, that's the Daniel we know. But I did like to see, though, seeing kind of the other side of what Daniel's like, you know, like his regrets that he's still having with Ophelia, you know, about, you know, telling her about, you know, the true him and like the stuff that he did that he never got the chance to do. So, I mean, just seeing him still having that struggle, even though he's kind of, I guess, losing his mind to say, but it's like he's still, you know, still struggling with the grief of losing Ophelia and then also not being able to make amends with her. That he, you know, wanted and that was stolen from him, which I'm sure you could probably go back to that being like, okay, that's probably a part where it would break someone's mind or start to. So seeing that, you know, it was kind of like this was his episode. So it was, I put that as my awesomes because, you know, good character development. Yep. I thought it was awesome in the sense that, you know, it's like I do like when Fear kind of gives us new stuff that we haven't, you know, that we don't get in the old show. And not that this is really new stuff, but we've got a new nickname for the walkers being called posters. And so I was not sure, like, okay, well, where did that come from? But one of like the was it the West friend person that was the one that died or, you know, that said that. But then, you know, it's like, why are you calling them posters? Like the walkers, like I just didn't really kind of get that, but I'm like, okay, cool. I guess there's another name to add to the list. So that's always fun. And then the other part was like, while I'm struggling with the show in general, it's like, I do like that they still come up with new ways for walkers to be dangerous. Unlike the main show, because it's like, it seems like in the main show, you know, it's like the walkers are kind of more background noise. You know, they show up whenever, like, oh, you know, like we're trying to fight these, like, I don't know, like, whenever they're fighting the, I already forgot their names, the other bad people.
The Whisperers?
No. The Reapers.
Oh, the Reapers.
And you know, the Maggie and all of them are in their, you know, in Meridian. And then, of course, you know, the gates got broken open. There's walkers everywhere. And then they start shooting that Triple J or whatever. Like here we are. No, it's like they're, so we know the walkers are being led out of the crater that, you know, that the nuclear bomb hit. And so it's like they're radioactive. And so now it's like these walkers, you can't go near them because then, you know, you'll die radiation poisoning. So it's just, I don't know. I just, Fear always is trying to like keep the walkers interesting. And, you know, it's not always just the human interaction or the human fights or whatever. It's like, there's always this walker danger. And so it's like something new. And so I'm I've said that before where it's like, you know, even with like, you know, showing us new walkers or, you know, like that's just some of the walker guts and effects and stuff like that. So it's nice to see that they're actually still a threat and they're using them, even though, you know, we'll see how it turns out. But
the only thing I would think of when you're talking about radioactive walkers is this is kind of like our power plant walkers, but you've doubled down on the radiation and you've made more of them.
Well, right. But it's still, again, it's like, I guess it's in a little bit like the Whisperers, even though they kind of like they use them as weapons. Right. So there was something different and fun to see in that because it's like, oh, we've never seen that before. But in this sense too, it's like, okay, well, here you have radioactive walkers that like they come in a herd. So it's like you're screwed regardless if you try to fight them or you basically have to run away. So it's like,
yep.
You know, but again, Strand obviously is somehow involved in this, so we'll have to see how that plays out. But I just enjoy, like, hey, it's not just like, oh, there's a herd over there. Okay, let's just jump in our car that is full tank of gas and just, like, we'll just head this way and, you know, they're not really a threat. All right, well, then that was all of our awesome sauce, so let's go into our weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak!
All right, well, our first weak sauce comes from Glennis from Toronto, and she says, I do not enjoy Daniel's character arc. I prefer him to be a complete badass and in control of his faculties rather than just be a confused old man and a whim to steer the plot for Luciano and Wes. Yeah, I know. I think that's kind of what's on everybody's mind. It's not the exactly best thing we would like to see, but that's where they're going with it, so I guess we'll just have to see how it actually plays out. All right, that was our only weak sauce from our listeners, so let's go into our weak sauce. I think I put more stuff in my what sauces than weak, but I thought it was weak that it was just like how Luciana and Daniel escaped by tricking the guard that he wasn't breathing. Or I guess Wes was there too. It was just silly. You know, it's like, really? Like, I guess there was kind of a thread this episode that Arno's group is just not really kind of have everything there, or like are not really real trained, or you know, like whatever, because they're just making silly mistakes or they don't know how things work or whatever. But I'm just like, right. Really? Like you still, if your main thing was like they're prisoners because we want information from them, and then I don't know. It's like, and they're saying, oh, no, he's hurt, blah, blah, blah. It's like, wouldn't you just go call somebody that is like a little bit higher up than you? That you're guarding the door. You're not supposed to be operating the jail door.
It is the classic, we're going to bust out of prison gig. That's the right. Always thing. It's like, hey, guard, help. My buddy's having a seizure. And so what does he do? He goes in alone.
Yeah.
Don't ever go in alone.
I just, it's.
Because even if Daniel hadn't done what he had done and, you know, pocketed the shiv off of somebody, there's three of them and there's one of you.
Right. Count.
You know, if you're going to do that. You do something to protect yourself. You tell them to get on the back wall and get on their knees and interlock their fingers behind their head or do something. And you come in with the gun and you give him a swift kick in the short ribs.
Yeah.
You know, pinch him. It's like, are you playing possum? Boot, boot, boot. Are you playing possum? Yeah. Because generally speaking, people are only good at playing possum as long as their pain tolerance holds out.
Yeah. So,
you know, you poke them with a pencil, you do something.
Yeah. Well, but this kid basically was like,
well, yeah.
Like, that's who's in charge of the jail.
Well, he's the one they left behind. Because remember, this was Daniel had given them the fake coordinates to go off gallivanting into the wilds of Rhode Island, Texas to figure out
where the
weapon cache was. So they left, you know, they left poor Elmo there to guard the prisoners.
And he hadn't gone through read the training manual on what to do. It just, I don't know. It's like, it's just one of those things where it's like, you're watching it, you're all into the show, and then all of a sudden it's just like this really stupid thing, and you're like, okay, yes, because this has to happen so that they can get out and go on to the next scene. And it just, I don't know, it's silly. It's not entertaining. It's like Bugs Bunny, you know, and like the Roadrunner and Coyote, where it's just all like, yeah, he never catches it and always gets hit by an anvil. And it's like, you just know, like, it's obvious, like, that's always going to happen. So it's not,
yeah,
it's just silly and stupid.
It's going to be, you know, it's going to be beep, beep, clang.
Anyways, well, that's all I had for my weak sauce. I'll let you guys decide who wants to go next. LT, you want to go?
I was almost going to say age before beauty, so you go ahead, Brian. But,
Go ahead.
I had weak sauce that I just seeing what they did to Daniel. I mean, yeah. we've all said it, and I think we will all continue to say it, is I just don't think that's the way that I wanted Daniel to go out.
Yeah. I don't like it.
And I think that it's going to serve the plot, hopefully, but it's just really crappy that this is the way that they're going to finish up his character arc. Because I would hope that he would go out, you know, go out with a bigger bang or something. And he still may, but I just don't. Like you had said, I've had some instances where I have dealt with that sort of thing in real life, and it just, it's not quite as entertaining seeing it on TV, maybe.
My main issue with it is you've taken a great character and you've, you know, effectively castrated him, you know, mm-hmm. like he's just, if he was an old man who had these issues, you know, that would have been something like if it had been a steady decay along seven seasons, that would have been one thing. But this was sort more like a, you know, something happened. And I think this was something that got brought up before that I didn't really respond to. But I think there was like he got beat up at some point by, I think, the Rangers or something like that.
Yeah.
That actually made him be, a senile old man, like the senile old man he was trying to fake that he was.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, that's essentially what happened. First he was acting like it, then he actually was it. And ever since then, you know, it's been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I could stand it if it was old man, as far as, you know, I can't run and jump and do kung fu and ninja rolls like I used to because of my, you know, my bursitis and my bad knees. But this is just, I just don't like the fact they're doing it to the one character that I actually kind of really liked and connected with. So
I agree.
And I think my next bit of weak sauce is just the fact of all of Arno's people just seem to be, we were complaining about poor Elmo, the jailer there. It's the rest of them were just kind of weak sauce people because it's like, what are we going to do? Arno's dead. You know, what are we going to do? And Luciana comes in and gives them a rah-rah speech, and then they're all at the submarine going, yay, we're on Team Morgan now. Woo! I just kind of was going, really?
Yeah.
Because, yeah. I mean, would you, let's swap groups out.
Well, then they said something stupid like, that's what Teddy would have wanted. And it's like, really?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Did I miss that?
I mean, maybe that's because Alicia's involved, you know, but
since,
I don't know.
Since Alicia is, you know, Teddy's savior.
Chosen one.
Person.
Yeah, right. Chosen one.
But it just seems kind of odd because did the saviors immediately all go, hey, let's move to Alexandria with Rick because Negan's dead?
Right.
No. See, I just have a problem with it.
Yeah.
I put this because actually later on in our Oh Hell No Sauce, Aaron had made a comment, but it's like, I'll just go ahead because that's what we're talking about now. Because it's like it was kind of like, are they like, Do they just blindly follow whoever? And then it's kind of like, isn't there someone else that's like more influential or like a better standing than like Arno was in the group? Like, it seems like if this is a group that didn't follow Alicia and were actively seeking her out to kill her. So it's like,
Yeah. And now they want to team up with her.
Right. Yeah. And now it's like, oh, great speech, Luciana. And like, let's go. And then also to go, I guess they want to get into the tower too, which is beyond me because there's a freaking bunker that's still working and nice.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's like, I they just immediately like, oh, okay, let's just go this way now because, you know, Arno, who seemed to be not that great of a leader. And then also it's like when they showed up at the sub, I'm like, wouldn't you think that it'd be like, oh, looking around at the sun, be like, why didn't we come here? This place is awesome. Like, yeah. It's much nicer. Then, it's,
you know, and who's to say one of the people in that crew is not like, you know, Arno's Howard. And he goes, hey, there's only three of them and there's 14 of us. we can take over the sub and then we have missiles too.
Well, and the other thought that, yeah, too, true. But I wondered, of course, I've seen, and we didn't talk about this, is the Dead in the Water, which I thought was actually really good as well. I mean, it was Riley the only survivor from the sub. I mean, I guess he was. I guess, but
I mean, still, other people left with him, but he was the only one that we saw he was just by himself.
That if anybody else survived, either they faded off into the woodwork or they, you know, unasked the area and went elsewhere.
Yeah.
So, but like I said, it's just the fact that I just don't see much dynamics out of the people that were at the boats.
Yeah.
If it's Arno's dead, we need a leader because we can't do anything without a leader. Can we follow you now?
Yeah.
It's just kind of not the sort of highly motivated people that we want as followers. Because think about it. When you assault the tower and something bad happens, what are they going to do?
Right. Run out. They'll scatter.
You know, are they going to do their job? Or are they going to go, you know, I think we need to find somewhere else and we'll just leave. I threw it in the weak sauce. It's our same thing. Guns and bullets and batteries. You know, we still have walkies that work magically when they need to. And we know that they were starting to have a problem with ammo because it started coming up of, well, we don't have any bullets.
Yeah.
But then, you know, suddenly they come back with wherever this cache of weapons is.
Yeah.
Which I still wonder, okay, how did you know about the cache? Who had the cache? You know, how much stuff did you actually recover? Where did you find it? Because it just seems to me that it was a little too random that, you know, the information fairy went bing and dropped a note and said, there's a big bag of guns just 20 miles from here.
Yeah.
And I think the last thing that I will fling into the weak sauce is, of course, we're back to Rhode Island, Texas.
Yes. That,
they're at the submarine and then suddenly they're at this, boat camp. And then Wes manages to get to the tower pretty quickly, but we still don't know where the big nuke crater full of zombies is located. And if everything is still that close, then where did Strand bugger off to?
Right.
You know, to use the obvious thing, you know, did he fall asleep in a trailer and wake up in Mississippi? I just don't know where it's been the weak point of this show from the get-go that time and distance is way too malleable. That everything is like either right on top of each other or it's a long ways away, but we'll get there before next week.
Right. And Daniel even like mentioned that he sent them to the wrong coordinates that were 20 miles the other direction and saying that like, oh, it'll take them 24 hours to get there and back. And so it's like everybody's, yeah. So like it seems like everything is taking a day or days to go anywhere. So, you know, it's kind of like, okay, well, you know, they have plenty of rations, food, horses or cars or whatever, you know, and then like none of that really gets explained. It just means like, you know, it's like, oh, we just, you know, it's no problem traveling that far. We can just do it whenever we want. And it leaves distance as like, okay, this walker or the crater, you know, it's like, where is that? You know, it's like, I mean, I would assume that they could see the blast from, actually, they saw the blast from, or Strand saw the blast from the tower for the, right. When the, so, I mean, you're thinking of like, you know, how far can you see on a clear day that's pretty, you know, flat? And that's probably what, like 20 miles? I don't know how far you can actually really see, like, you know, before you hit the curvature. But I mean, it's like, yeah, I mean, it's probably 10, 15 miles, I guess. So I don't know. It's, and there were multiple missiles, weren't there? So it's kind of like, okay, which one is it? You know, anyways, it's all, it's just all convenient that, you know, they just make it towards like distances are far, but then not that far, you know, and we don't get to see them traveling. It's just a cutscene.
Right.
Yep. Oh, all right. Well, Brian, did you have anything for your week?
Yeah, I do. Just basically, I hate that, you know, that they made Daniel forget that Ophelia is dead. It's one thing that, you know, Daniel was forgetful, but now he's forgetting that Ophelia is dead. That's awful, you know? My big weak sauce is, AMC Plus. I love to make them an example, but, I had to log into the Roku app 5 times, in the last 24 hours. And that doesn't include the several times the stream stopped and I got an error and I had to restart it. But it didn't make me log out. It just, I don't know. It's really annoying, but it's happened to me. It happened to me on the Roku app, but it's also happened to me on my phone and it's happened to me on my browser. And it's just annoying. And it's like this AMC Plus, application or whatever you want to call it, site does this more than any streaming site that I've ever been to. Makes you log in again and again and again and again. And I don't understand why it can't keep your login information. I understand it when that can happen sometimes when the application updates. This was not happening in this case. It was not sending updates every, you know, several times in a day. This was the same version. So to me, I mean, I don't understand it. I don't know if it has to do with where I bought it from, you know, because I know that, like, say if I bought my membership through Google Play or something like that, or through Apple, it may not work a certain way. I bought my membership through Apple TV Plus. Sorry, not Apple TV Plus. I bought it through AMC Plus directly. So I would think they're not having to go internal, that they shouldn't have this issue. And, you know, I had the issue, in, you know, with my old TV in Tampa. I've had the same issue here. And I've had the issue on my various devices. So it just, it's like, come on, stop with this. Yeah. And, I was watching, today, Better Call Saul, getting, update with that, and was doing it there as well. And it just, The worst part about it too is it keeps forgetting where I am I'm watching the show. I'm like 36 minutes in and it makes me log out, log back in, and it's forgotten that I've watched even 1 second of the episode. And it that just and the other thing that it did, and I don't this would probably be just central to Roku itself, but I set up Roku to close caption. So, you know, especially with this episode, well, when they were speaking Spanish, that's not the best thing to have, but I wanted to be able to like turn it off and turn it back on. And it wasn't respecting the fact that I had turned caption on. So it only worked after I shut the TV off and turned it back on. That was the only thing that brought it back, that or brought the caption working, was to turn it off completely. Not just the app, but turn the TV off. So anyway, that's my, I want them to get their act together. And it just like, and another thing too, is, you know, and it'll show the programs, right? And it'll show, you know, it'll show Fear the Walking Dead, or it'll show Better Call Saul. It'll show, you know, The Walking Dead. Right. And the first one it shows is season, for I'll use TWD as the example. The first one it shows, season 7, episode 1. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. like, no, don't show me that. I've seen the whole freaking season. Show me, if you're going to show me something, show me the last episode of the season.
Yeah. I'm going to be there with you on like the AMC Plus now that I have it, cuz it's I haven't had problems with in the Roku app or like in or actually my Roku device, like I don't know if it's, you know, if that's what you're referring to, but
yeah.
Like it's never logged me out.
Well, it's my Roku TV. It's not a device.
I have a old Roku like set top old right. device, and that's, you know, still they still update the software, so it's, you know, it's the current one, but like it doesn't have it done that to me. But I'm gonna go into it's part of my watch sauce on like something with the captioning. But I've also noticed on when I've tried watching it in my browser though that like. You're watching, yes, it doesn't always remember where the last you watched. But yeah. Then if I try to fast forward or, you know, rewind, like it goes dark and I can't, like, I can hear audio, but there's no picture. And so it's like, I have to like close the browser, basically open it up, re-log back again, and then basically just guess where, you know, where I'm at because it doesn't, you know, remember that. I'm like, oh yeah, you were at this spot. And it's annoying. So it's like most of the time I just watch the current episode on YouTube TV, you know, that I recorded. And then, you know, that's basically what I use to make sure that I'm going to be able to stream it. I mean, as long as I don't touch it, kind of, it's like I push play and then I just like don't touch it. Then it's like, it seems to work fine. But yeah, I was like, those are some of the issues I've had. I'm kind of like, yeah, this should work flawlessly at this point.
Right. And I've still stuck to either watching it on broadcast or watching it on my Spectrum app, which doesn't allow me to go ahead, but I can watch the current episode mm-hmm. and it's pretty stable. I don't have Plus. I haven't planned on getting Plus. I may pony up at some point, but, right now, just all the way you guys are talking about it, it's kind of not really encouraging me to jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah. It's a bit of a disincentive. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what both of us did. You know, it was on sale and we snatched it up when it was on, for what was it? $1.99 a month. If you bought it for a whole year.
Yeah. It was $1.99 for, yeah. for a whole, and then a month for a whole year. But yeah, I'm like, because otherwise it's like, I'm not adding another streaming thing. And it was during the holidays. And
yeah,
I mean, granted I've used it very little. I don't watch a lot of stuff on there. But even during Walking Dead, it was nice that, oh, I get to see it a week ahead. But it is kind of like, I haven't had those problems, but most of the time I'm just like, I'm push play, let it go. And with the problems I've had with the browser, it's kind of like, okay, I'm afraid to even rewind, fast forward, because then I'd just be like, okay, I'll wait until it actually airs, and then I'll have a copy that works. Anyway, I watch Paramount Plus more than AMC Plus.
Yeah. Well, it has an annoying habit with me that it just kind of goes in the middle of an episode. Now, luckily, I've had good luck in getting back to where I was at.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's the fact of you have to go out, reselect the episode, start it again.
Yeah.
And it seems to be, it does it. When it does it on my phone, it gives me a pretty error code and a pop-up box.
Yeah.
My TV just goes deuces and it, you know, goes back to the Paramount Plus screen.
Yeah. Yeah. And I get that too. And, you know, Paramount Plus definitely has its issues as well. But I would say at this point, there are less issues with Paramount Plus than AMC Plus. I think Paramount Plus is maybe, you know, 2 years ahead on the error curve, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, or maybe a year ahead on the error curve. They're still getting errors. They're just not, you know,
as bad,
not as many as they did. And they've filled out the features of the app, a lot over the, especially since they've converted to Paramount Plus, like, you know, they never even had a skip, you know, skip intro or skip,
right.
You know,
that's true.
They never had that until recently and stuff like that.
Yep.
You know?
All right. Well, let's move on from AMC Plus's app issues and let's move into our what sauce.
What?
Mike from Asheville gave us some what sauce. He said, Wes going to the tower. I sure hope he's going for a double cross. Otherwise, they got some splaining to do. I get him being upset at Luciana, but to turn against the group seems out of nowhere. And he says, can we please get the story about how Alicia didn't protect the group? Arno kept saying it. What the hell happened between those two?
Yes, that would have been very helpful.
it's the flashback story that we wanted and we didn't get, as opposed to what we got and really didn't want.
Yes, well said. Oh, goodness. Thank you, Mike. Well, that was all our feedback from our listeners, so let's go into our own what sauce. And we've brought this up before, and also our listeners have brought it up, because it's like, you know, the stalkers were still wearing masks, and then it's in the same scene where our people aren't wearing them. So it's kind of like, why are you doing that? And, you know, it's kind of like, Deanna, Renee, I think I might even said, and Emma, it's just like, you know, it's like, pick one. It's masks on or masks off. You know, it's like, it seems mm-hmm. like that everybody always has like some, like, oh, we're out of the fallout, or like, oh, the, you know, and you've said it before where it's like, okay, how long has it been? And fallout doesn't really like last that long like that in the air. Right. Or, you know,
and
like,
it's the whole thing of, if the sepia filter is on, you wear your mask. If the sepia filter is off, you don't.
You don't.
But just to reiterate what we both said, Kyle, is that, you know, pick one. Either wear the mask or don't wear the mask. But it's this inconsistent of, you wore it and then you take it off so they can see your face and deliver your dialogue, and then you've got it back on, you know, right. so you don't have the and then we had the revisiting of mask cam.
Yes, that's true. But that's the thing. It's like, are they doing this to try to make the stalkers like scary? Like, I mean, it's kind of like, is this just like a costume thing? It's like, oh, here's like Arno, who was not wearing a mask, and then the stalkers running up and like they're wearing masks, and, you know, I don't know. And then of course they end up in apparently where it's safe at their base camp or whatever, the treehouse, that, you know, it's like, oh yeah, like hang your gear up on the wall, and then they're like, Wes and Luciano, they're like, is it safe? And then he's like, oh yeah, the fallout got, the winds blew the fallout somewhere else, and it's like, here, take a reading, you know. And it was just the way they're playing with us, it's like you don't know, like, what's going on, like, where after this long, it's like, what's radioactive, what's not, like, is it just, you know, like, it would make sense that there's issues if maybe where the crater was, and Texas has, you know, strong winds and like wind storms, what? That like they could be showing that, like, oh, here's winds blowing over the crater, bringing up a whole dust of like, yep, radioactive dust.
And you and I have said it, Kyle, if they just had a simple thing of give somebody a dose meter, give somebody a Geiger counter, you know, throw in, it's like, whoop, got to mask up. We're getting lots of clicky clicks.
And then just continue on, and like, oh, and then we're under a story. You're right. It's just like, or, I mean, that's like B-roll, you know, just like a quick, yeah, like, we're doing a transition from one scene to the other, and then like, oh, here's crater dust storm from afar. And then you'd be like,
it doesn't have to even do anything. Just give them a little box with a handle that they look at and they go, whoop, all clear, and they pop their mask off. That's all it would take. One,
right,
one throwaway line and one cheesy prop, and we would all not be shaking our heads like, you know, the desk, the dashboard air freshener dog. It just kills me.
Yeah, it's like it was simple things that we would not have thought, like, it wouldn't even have crossed our mind. We would have been like, oh, it's just simple information that would have just been like, subconsciously be like, oh yeah, done, like, whatever. But, you know, I brought it up just because, it once again, it's just like, it kind of detracts from them telling their story. So it's kind of like, just pick one. Like, we get that there's, yeah, danger areas because we know the sub is still surrounded by it, so it's kind of like, but they're in a sub. Anyways, the other part, which I'm going to agree with you, Brian, with your I'm actually giving another AMC Plus issue, because like, I don't use it all that much, but here is an episode where, like,
I noticed this too.
Yeah, there are subtitles that, you know, because, you know, they're speaking Spanish. And they are doing it, you know, throughout the whole episode, which, you know, they've done this before, and we love, I'm glad that they were doing this because it is cool. But then it's like, you know, I watch captions or put closed captioning on so that I can do my rewatches and get more information. I was doing this actually like late at night the other night, and trying to take notes and stuff like that when my husband was asleep. And it's the AMC app on AMC Plus on my Roku device. And all of the closed captioning laid right over the captions from the show. Like, and so basically, I put a screenshot in the doc so you guys could see, but basically it's like, you know, here's the dialogue, the Spanish translation, or, you know, a caption for like something that Daniel is saying. But then in the club captioning, it says speak Spanish, and it's covering up like the whole entire thing. So I'm like sitting here like, wait, this is, and it wasn't moving, yeah, around, and like it was in that same place. And like, I'm like, okay, this is your app. Like, now, and your episode.
Somebody would have paid attention to that when the show actually has its own subtitles for this stuff.
Right.
It's like, thanks, AMC Plus, speak Spanish. And that makes me like, well, no lie, they're speaking Spanish.
Right. Now,
it makes you, like, the one question that I had is, did the, were you generating the captions from your TV or from your Roku device?
I was generating it through the AMC Plus app that had, okay, the captions.
Okay,
I'd have to get back, but no, I mean, like, I know it's like there was like turning captions on,
right?
And I went and selected it, so that I would have to double check that.
The point that I'm trying to make is, I don't know how much control AMC and the AMC Plus app have for where the captions are placed. But that being said, it's pretty stupid for you to have a caption that says speak Spanish over subtitles, right. You know, over the English, you know, that says what he's actually saying.
Right.
You know.
Well, no, and see, and I watched this because I have YouTube TV, so I watched it today on Chrome on my computer.
Okay.
And there the subtitles move, and so it's like it was usually they're up at the top of the screen,
right?
Or they do move around or whatever, but it was like clearly out of the way so I could have it on there, and it was saying the same thing, speak Spanish, but then I'm like, oh yeah, but I can see what they're saying. And so it's just the fact that when I watched it the first time, I didn't have captioning. I always do it when I do my rewatches. To here it is late at night, and I'm all like, okay, I'm going to watch this and whatever, and I'll be able to, catch all the dialogue. And then it was like, I can't. I can't see what they're saying. And half of the time I was like missing it. And I'm like, I can't turn it off because I don't want to miss out on what they're saying. anyways, it was just frustrating for sure. Well, that was all I had for my what sauces. What did you have, Brian?
It seemed like for a minute there, they were going to give Luciana something that, I mean, she's been a crappy character ever since, she was a good character in season two, I mean, mm-hmm. when, they were at the Colonia and was definitely a leader. And ever since then, she's been a very weak character and hasn't had much to do. And, she goes away for long periods of time, it seems like, and when she comes back, she's not, there's not much going on with her. Really, a waste of a character in my estimation. And it seemed like they were setting her up there for her to kind of lead that group, and then they kind of pulled it back and made it more, that Daniel would be leading that group. And it's just kind of like they could have done it a different way to make her a leader too, and they didn't do that. So,
right.
Again, she's kind of like, I like the possibility of her, and Daniel, kind of being a son and daughter. And I hope that kind of resolves itself positively. It seems like it's not going to at this point, the way that things kind of went. But nevertheless, it seemed like they pulled it back. And, I didn't also say for a what sauce here, her effectively betraying, Daniel, making sure, he's going to break even more. I just looked at that and was like a big, huh? Like what? Why? Like, I understand why she did it, but I thought to myself, couldn't there have been a different way for that to go down? It just seemed like, and I was kind of, there were a couple of times in this, I kind of did a big huh around Wes. Like, he kept on bringing up this stuff about, like, he was so interested in what his brother was involved with or something. Like, I don't know what was it he was trying to find out. Was it whether he was at Tank Town? Is that what it was?
Yeah, because he did say something about he was like, oh, was he at Tank Town? Was he one of the ones, I think, that attacked Tank Town?
I thought that was already... That was already kind of like,
yeah, already hashed out that.
I thought that was already a thing that was already, defined that was a thing. So I was kind of surprised when it had come up again. The idea that it's, not, that it's not, it is just kind of, I was kind of taken aback. But also, again, he kept on saying things like, "Are you thinking what I'm thinking?" And he said that kind of thing a couple of times. And I was trying to figure out, well, what was it he was thinking at the end there? You know, he's like, because he said to Luciana, "Are you thinking what I'm thinking?" And I thought to myself, well, what is he thinking? That wasn't really explained. Was he thinking that he's got to go over to Strand? I mean, that was that, because to me, that was not, you know. And then, of course, he, like, obviously, the thing with Wes is he's still idealistic. So he was obviously offended by what she did. But like I said, going to Strand, to me, just didn't make a lot of sense. It's like, you know, if you're going to go to someone who's morally corrupt, you're not going to go to Strand. He's like the you know what I'm saying? If you're idealistic, you're not going to go to a morally corrupt Strand unless you feel like you're going to be able to change them somehow.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's, yeah. Like, unless he's trying to go in there to change him or something like that, or to team up with the people that are there, I just didn't understand it.
I think the thing is, what is it that Strand said? Don't bullshit a bullshitter.
Yeah, exactly.
And Wes, like we've already said, he seems to be kind of a little more of a Boy Scout in a way. And what I'm afraid of is he may be going in there thinking that he can lay out a case to Strand and Strand to listen, but he already said that, you know, people are people. So I just think that that's probably, I don't get what he's doing. I mean,
I sort of do,
but I think that it's kind of either it's a calculated play or it's a naive play. And just given the way the writers have done people, I'm banking towards naive.
Yeah.
Holding out hope that he's got some big plan in mind.
Yeah.
I like, it was his whole spiel though, that he was basically just saying like, oh, like, you know, people are people. People are, you know, are just jerks or crappy or whatever. And then, you know, then he basically told Luciana, he's like, I thought there was something different with you guys or with Morgan, and then realized, no, you know, you're just like the same. And like, so basically he was just saying, yeah, like everybody is all like, you know, on the same side, like, or against each other, whatever, you know. It's like people are people, like what he said. So I actually wrote my notes where I was just all like, I wrote down, I was like, I kind of would be in the same mindset as he was, just being like, oh yeah, people suck. So that meant that he would just leave and try to just survive on his own. And because isn't that how he started off whenever, like, we first met him?
Yeah.
So it's like, I just kind of took it as like, oh, he's just like, I'm done dealing with the groups. I'm better off alone. And I thought that that's what he was going to do. Like, he was leaving.
Go back off to paint trees or something.
Or something. Just saying, like, I'm better off taking care of myself than dealing with all this crud. And so I wrote that in my notes, but then of course it goes on. I'm like, oh, Wes goes to the tower call box. And then I'm like, Wes is a traitor. So I'm like, I just, it, yeah, it's like, what is his end game? Or if you're saying, like, definitely he's the Boy Scout and he thinks that he can somehow like change things at the tower with Strand to help everybody so that everybody lives a kumbaya.
Well, yeah, because we've said it, that the thing the writers have done is they've, you know, gone to this, well, if somebody gets pissed off with Morgan or Alicia, they immediately go trotting over to the tower and pick up the phone. And I mean, that's why Arno's people were so mad, because Arno went trotting over to the phone. Yeah. And they went,
nope.
I don't know. Can I still say, you're fired?
Yes, that, you can say that.
You know, Strand basically gave him the old boot-a-roo there. And so that's why they were pissed at him. But it just seems to me that is the big, you know, that's your go-to plot point, is that if somebody is tired of our people out in the sticks or on the submarine, they go, Well, I'll just go over to Strand and I'll pick up the phone and call the tower.
Mm-hmm. He'll-
yeah, it's like the F word. You can use it twice in a season, which I didn't bring up. Daryl used the F word.
Mm-hmm. Yep, everybody.
Well, we'll give you a pass on that one since you weren't here, Brian.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it was kind of a double take when that happened.
Yeah. I believe the response was everyone went, oh.
Yep.
Daryl said, what?
Oh, goodness. All right. Well, that was it for our what sauce. All right. Well, again, I've mentioned this. We've got a new sauce that we are calling the Hell No Sauce, which is kind of like not a what or a week, but just something that just either just is so out there.
Don't need to explain it on my behalf.
Yeah, no. No,
I was the inventor.
Yes, I know. I'm explaining it to Alyssa because I don't know if we'll still continue. We might just do it just for fear if people keep commenting, because it's kind of I tried trouble of like, what do I put in here? Because it is kind of like I usually start off in my week. And I'll start writing stuff in the doc on the weak sauce, but then I start going, wait, no, this is more of a what? I'm like, and I end up basically copying everything from there and moving it. So it's kind of like, okay, but, you know, what should I put in here? But in any case, we did get some Oh Hell No Sauce, so let's get to that.
Oh Hell No!
All right, well, our Oh Hell No Sauce comes from Erin from the internet, and she says, this is me is both weak and what, so I'm putting it here. The fact Arnold's people just straight up sat down and listened to Luciana even though Daniel murdered their leader? What? How does this make sense? In what world does it make sense that everybody would just be cool with a new leadership change? This might be their most illogical leap yet. It's certainly right up there with Alicia just letting a zombie bite her. Yeah, and we just kind of talked about that. It's just, and I brought this up when in your guys' weak sauce, like when I, you know, brought it up from the Oh Hell No. But yeah, we kind of like it makes no sense that, you know, these people basically were out to get Alicia, left her, and then all of a sudden they're just like, oh, okay, cool, let's go. Like, Alicia's the next best thing. All right, well, thank you, Erin. All right, well, then that leads us into our sad and aw sauce.
Aww.
LT, you want to take Mike?
I will. Mike from Asheville says, Daniel's storyline. He was an interesting character, and they decide to give him memory issues. I do not understand why. Even trying to explain it in this episode was strange. Then to top it off, people are taking advantage of it. I agree with Wes leaving for that reason.
Erin from the internet says, Luciana manipulating Daniel. Yeah, I agree with that, actually. Then she says, it was fun to see badass Lucy back with a move like that, because I feel that's something she would do back in the day to get her mission done, but still so sad because it's such a manipulation. I can't see Daniel killing her for this move, so they both go out this season, but I think this move set up Daniel dying this year for sure. He'll either go out fighting, maybe Luciana kills him in defense of herself, or kill himself because he's so broken. He's very much Alcea Philia again, so it just seems deathy. Just feels deathy. Well, I think that's what they're trying to get to. I think they're setting up the fact that that's how he's going to see Ophelia again. He's going to see Ophelia again by dying, you know. So I think that's what we'll end up, you know, coming to in the end. And I don't like it. I don't think it's going to be, I mean, I could see Luciana, you know, like killing him in the end, I guess, but I don't think that she'd kill him in self-defense, or I don't think Daniel would go after her. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
In the end, I wouldn't be surprised if Daniel, like, sacrifices himself or does something like that. You know, we'll see.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Aaron, for your feedback. That leads us into our side and Asas. I didn't really have anything because I kind of, you know, agreed with everybody else.
We talked about it already, but, you know, just basically his declining memory. I just seeing this decline in the character. I hate to see it. Every time he'd say Ophelia is alive, I just really felt it pull on my heartstrings, you know. Just hard to see him like that. So that would be my sad sauce.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I have to concur because again, it's just sad seeing Daniel in this state.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I think having seen it in firsthand in real life, I think that Ruben is really bringing it the way he's acting it. And it's the same thing we have said about the show is there are times when it's not the writing that carries the show and makes it, even if we're giving it sixes and sevens, that the quality of the acting still shines through even with some of the craptastic scripts they've been given.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we talked about it with John Dory Jr., that, you know, Garrett Dillahunt did an amazing job with what they gave him.
Definitely.
And just the quality of how he acted the part took something that could have been a 4 or a 5 storyline and boosted it up. The same thing with this, that it's the actors that carry the day. And I think that's the one saving grace this show has.
Yeah.
Is just how
the ensemble. Yeah.
It's how well the actors work. And our complaints have always been how they utilize those actors. But just to wrap this up, my sad sauce is still going to be that they've, you know, taken this proud, strong man who did all this stuff for his family and did all this stuff for the group. And he's in this decline and he has the moments where he's shining and he's back to himself and then goes back into this sort of childlike stupor.
Yeah.
And it's just, I guess I'll say it's maladroitly written, but as executed as well as it could be given what they have to work with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, all right. Well, let's take ourselves into our feedback.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right. Well, our first feedback comes from Mike from Asheville, and he says, other than getting some people to fight, it was another filler episode. Even my wife said, it's feeling like The Walking Dead. What's the end game here? Can we get to the war, please? And who is letting the walkers out of the pit? Is it whoever Madison's with? 5 episodes to go. Let's bring it home. Yeah, I think from what I understand, Strand is behind the walker deal, but then we don't know. He's been on, like, gone from his tower and letting Howard run the show. We do get to see him. I think next episode he does appear, but I'm actually, even the stalkers were like, what is Strand doing, or like at the pit? So I think it's been they've brought that up, or it's been pointed to him, so that's what I'm assuming it is. Now, Madison, on the other hand, we have no idea. I mean, we don't even know if we see her this season, or if it's just at the tail end, or like, you know, it's kind of like the cliffhanger moment after the show, like the season finale is over, then it's like all the, you know, like a little flashback or, you know, whatever happens. So I doubt it's her. She's at Padre.
Padre.
Padre. All right. Well, all right. Take it away.
I was going to. The next bit of feedback is, this is a new name. It's Teresa from the Facebook group. So let's go ahead and say welcome to the podcast, Teresa from the Facebook group. Thank you for your feedback. And she says, I like this episode. I've always been a Daniel fan and loved seeing him. It's been so long. He even mentions the cat. It's getting better, thank goodness. Fear the Walking Dead had me worried for a hot minute as I was so disappointed in Follow Me and Morning Cloak, but this is a redeeming episode. Yay.
Thank you, Teresa. She joined us not too long ago, and happy to have you leave some feedback. All right, Brian, you want to take Aaron?
Aaron from the internet says, I know some hate the idea of Daniel losing his mind, but I'm personally torn on it. On one hand, it makes sense. Someone with the most secrets on their downside would lose their memory. On the other hand, it means he's not going out as the badass he was, but as someone defeated by grief, and that's kind of meh at best for Daniel, given we haven't seen him that much on the series. I'm interested to see what you all say on this topic for sure. Well, I'll just say, I don't like it. And I wish that he would get better, you know, and it's one of those things like if it wasn't the apocalypse and, you know, he could get he could get treated, they probably could help his memory and, you know, but it's just, I don't know. It's just tragic. It's tragic. I don't like them hampering this character that I love so much. He was an interesting character that they muted. And I just don't like it. I like seeing shades of it, but in a lot of ways, like I would have preferred it if he had had this steady decline over time, you know, over the seven seasons, and not like, you know, here he is, this badass, and then suddenly, boom, he's, you know, he's kind of castrated or whatever you want to call him, you know.
Yeah.
Sort of like use the tire analogy. It would have been better as a slow leak rather than a explosive blowout.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, and this puts in the idea, though, or not idea, but in terms of like, okay, well, we have a season 8, and
yeah,
you know, we know Madison's coming back, but at this rate, it looks like they're killing off most of the cast.
Yeah, so that's like, the thing. It's like, are they going to end up like? Madison will be back, but there'll be no Daniel. There'll be no Alicia, you know, and it's like, well, if that's the case, why bring her back? I mean, well, she'll have right. no one that she, you know, reacted to, you know, to work with. I mean, maybe they'll still have Luciana, but she was never all that chummy with her, you know?
Yeah.
At least that we saw.
I think what they're going to do is that they're going to basically wait till everything sort of kicks off and then she's going to appear. There's got to be, you know, since we saw her in the basement at the table with the voice and the speaker, you know, it makes me think they're going to pull out some other group, you know, some other thing that's going to be a plot driver, because I can fully go on record as saying, it would not surprise me one whit if they suddenly introduce another group that gets the band back together, that suddenly this other external threat unifies the tower people and the rogue team of Jawas from the submarine so that suddenly everybody's all huggy kissy and, you know, fighting as one team.
Well, then that I know it's like, and I hate saying it. I've been saying it so far this season. It's like, oh, I guess we have to wait and see, because it's like, well, there's literally like,
that's your favorite thing to say.
Well, I don't like saying it as much as I've been saying it.
Well, I mean, that's what fear has done to us.
Yeah.
It's sort of like our knee jerk reaction. Now they go poke, poke. Here's this plot. Guess we'll wait and see.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Aaron, for your feedback. All right. Well, next is Glenn is from Toronto. LT?
Glenn's from Toronto left some feedback. She said, well, at least in spite of Daniel being duped by Luciana, or because of that, that hasn't impacted his killing skill, which he put to good use to escape their jail and confront Arno. And no mercy shown to that young boy either. The kids in that past Fear the Walking Dead episode were also in huts connected by gangplanks, so similar setup this time around with the boats and connecting planks. She remembered your kids, Brian. So Wes is going to be a traitor now and tittle-tattle to Strand on the group's tactics to take the tower. What is he planning to do is worse than Luciana deceiving Daniel, as lives are going to be risked and lost as a result. And all of a sudden, Wes hates Morgan is doing too, with apparently blaming Morgan for using people for his own benefit and goals. Where has the real Wes that painted with Alicia gone to? I'd watch my back if I was Luciana and company, as Arno's ex-group is all of a sudden joining forces with Luciana, Alicia, and Morgan. The happenings of the whole season 6 and 7 are now all forgiven and forgotten. Is Daniel going to die in the episodes coming up and really get to be with his daughter Ophelia? Noted the callbacks to Skidmark, the Abigail, and Ophelia when she was alive, when Madison was trying to keep her alive long enough for Daniel to say goodbye. Are the writers / showrunners setting up Daniel to be the one to see Madison first? As if that is the case, no one will believe him. And somebody commented to Glennis's feedback. Mike Rollo replied, definitely feels like Daniel is going to die soon. They seem to be setting that up. And again, thank you so much, Glennis, for your feedback.
Thank you so much, Glennis.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for your feedback. I guess that goes into, did you guys have anything else to add?
No, I think we've kicked the appropriate dead horses enough.
I don't believe I have anything more to say.
All right. Well,
except
then
I'm very happy to be here.
Yes. And we're happy that you are here, and hopefully we'll have you for the rest of the season.
Walking Dead podcast has been very, very good to you.
When I said that, I was thinking of the first Coming to America.
Yes.
I am very happy to be here, he says. Anyway.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's continue. That takes us into our news, ratings, and info.
What the hell is happening?
I have no idea.
Okay. Looking at ratings this week, Fear the Walking Dead got a 0.14 in the 18 to 49 with 743,000 viewers, down from last week's 0.015 and 835,000 viewers. In the 25 to 54, it got a 0.24, and in the 50 and over, it got a 0.45. Last week it got a 0.23, so it's actually up in the 25 to 54, but it was down quite a bit from the 0.53 that it got in the 50 and over. And it's very, I think I said to you, LT, it's depressing that the only demographic that I belong to now is the 50 and over. Anyway, and of course, Talking Dead not on again this week, so can't really talk about that too much. Parrot Analytics, of course, Fear's not on there. I don't know if it's ever been on there, but The Walking Dead is still rating high in the top 10. It was at number 9 this week. It got a 40.5 times the demand of an average show. Last week, it was at number 8 with 43.5. So it's down a notch and down slightly, but still doing pretty well. Interestingly enough, there are two other shows within AMC that are ranking on the top 10. So it's got 3 in the top 10 right now. Of course, Better Call Saul is going strong right now. And I haven't seen the latest episode, which was on last night, but it's just the first 3 anyway. So good. So good this season. Better Call Saul has been in the top 10. It is at number 4 with 51.7 times the demand of an average show. And Breaking Bad, its sister show, it's, of course, Better Call Saul is the prequel show to Breaking Bad. It's at number 5 at 45.2, the demand of an average show. Both shows, I noticed, are rating quite highly in the U.S. on Netflix. So that's probably one of the reasons why it's doing as well as it is. There's demand. People are going back and watching those two shows on Netflix. Well, they should, I would say. Like I say, it's so far the first 3 episodes that I've seen have just been tremendous. Also worth saying that the show that I cover, Star Trek Picard, is also in the top 10 of the digital originals. So it's at number 6 in the digitals. At a lower number, it was 29.4. That's still good for number 6 in the digitals. Just under at 29.8 last week, but held its number 6 position. So, but beyond that, we got some pretty big news there, Kyle, don't we?
Yes, we do.
And this just came just before we started recording. So,
yes. Hulu's upcoming series called Saint X is undergoing a major casting change. Victoria Peretti, she was tapped as the lead, but she has departed the psychological drama over creative differences. Well, then it got announced, though, in this article that it's like she has been replaced by Fear the Walking Dead's Alicia Dedham Carey on the show. So this is kind of interesting because, you know, they're filming season 8, I think, is what they said, like June or July of this year. And I guess this show is already going into production with her and the cast. So it's kind of like, okay, well, what does this mean for her character in Fear of the Walking Dead? I mean, we know that, I guess, you know, she's still going to be in season 8. It kind of puts into the question, like, okay, what's going to happen to her? You know, I don't think that she is going to die just yet, but now that we hear that she's been cast in this other show, that it's happening basically during the same time, it's like, are we going to basically kind of get like a kind of a Michonne thing where all of a sudden it's just like, we had her, you know, like in the first episode, but then she's gone? Or I guess it's like, as, you know, Lauren Cohen too, where it's like she's like, you know, maybe they have her in the very first episode because obviously Madison's coming back, but then we don't see her,
you know, until the first few or something.
Yeah, or something.
And
like
I saw it's being filmed in the Dominican Republic. So, and aren't they, correct me if I'm wrong, aren't they changing where the show is filming next season?
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm. Where is it going to be filmed next season?
Don't know if they said. I know that they're not shooting in Texas.
Right.
No, but I don't, because they were, I think they're moving, aren't they moving back to Georgia?
They could be moving back to Georgia.
Okay. I think that's what I remember, is that they're basically bringing it back into, you know,
well, since the compound. Since,
whatever.
Yeah,
well, since
that,
they still have, since they still have some real estate options in Georgia, it's possible that just to save money, they're, instead of having two sets, they're going to, since the main show has stopped in Georgia, then they can go utilize some of the same places the main show did and move production there.
Yeah. I mean, it would make sense to save money and keep it all in, you know, closer to in-house. But yeah, it is moving to Georgia, I'm pretty sure. But then, you know, it's, you know, we know that this is probably coming to an end in season 8. I mean, I don't see how they're going to keep it going when they have so many other things going on with the main show ending, you know, the spinoffs. You know, we still have to figure out where the CRM lies in all of this because, you know, obviously that is where Rick Grimes is, you know, and we've gotten zero of that so far. It's just, you know, very surprised that like that still hasn't been like a thread that they've been keeping on in fear
right.
to tie everything together. But we've talked about that before. It was just kind of like, they don't
because of both the shows we had, you know, snippets of it in the main show, but the show that had a lot more of CRM stuff other than the kids show was, has been Fear.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And
so it would, if one was to apply reasonable logic to Fear, then it seems like they would be the one to spring more CRM stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that would definitely help. I still wonder if we're going to end the main show because it's, they have to somehow tie into that. And we've talked about that before anyways, too. So,
right.
Well, we shall see. My favorite saying. The next thing was just more of like kind of, you know, more casting announcements. Like Garrett Dillahunt has been cast in a new action thriller called Red Right Hand. It's a film directed by the brothers Ian and Esham Nelms. And I guess they've did Fat Man and written by Jonathan Easley, which is his first movie script. And if the story follows Cash, which is actually starring Orlando Bloom, a man trying to live a quiet life in the Appalachian Hills of Odom County with his niece Savannah. Appalachian Hills of Odom County with his niece Savannah. Anyways, it's like kind of a, he portrays a character called Wilder. He's an ex-addict turned preacher who advises and protects Cash and his family. But he's also going to be seen in a movie adaptation of Delia Owen's novel, Where the Crawdads Sing. And he's joined by fellow Walking Dead universe actor Jason Warner Smith, who played Gavin on The Walking Dead. And that's actually a film that's being released July 15th. So, got some stuff coming down the pipeline. The next thing, which I know Dieta posted this, and then I know Ruthie posted it, that it was reported from TV Line that Melissa McBride has exited the long-promised Carol and Daryl spinoff series. And I know we've talked about stuff, you know, commented on the Facebook group, but she's not, I guess, you know, she's, I guess, walked away or left or, you know, like was, you know, mutually agreed upon or something like that. But, she, you know, she's leaving the spinoff, which is going to be a very interesting about, like, then if it's just a Daryl-only show, then, like, you know, are they changing anything up? Is it going to be, you know, like, are they going to... Because they haven't started filming it yet, have they?
No.
It's still... Yeah, it's still, like, they haven't quite gotten to that point yet. So this, you know, curious of like how much is this going to change. I know it's not supposed to be airing until next year, but so just sad, I guess, that, you know, we're not going to get Daryl and Carol together, you know, doing some adventures. I didn't want to go more into this, like that much more into it because it's been all over online, but also because I was just like, I guess there was some, you know, the internet, as wonderful and horrible it can all be all at the same time, is like, I guess fans were really, I guess, sending their, what do you call it, you know, just fury to Melissa.
Apparently, like, a lot of people. Yeah, apparently a lot of people were trying to blame Norman Reedus for it, and there was a lot of really hateful things flying around Twitter about it.
Yeah.
Why were they trying to blame him for it?
Like, who knows? Yeah. Who knows? Something, some rumor, somebody that's from the Walking Dead crew or film crew or whatever, or somebody attached to the show was saying, or it was leaked, or, you know, something, as it always is. It's like saying that, like, oh, it was like, you know, there was some beef or something going on between both of them, and that it was like his idea, or that it was whatever. But it just, of course, as Twitter is not the best place, you know, people just start, you know, saying horrible things. And I mean, even Jeffrey Dean Morgan got involved and, like, basically tweeted out, basically just saying, like, you know, like, people just like how, you know, how can you be, stop being so horrible? You know, it's just like, it's her decision. It's not like, you know, this conspiracy or whatever. I mean, I thought I had it in the doc, but I mean, it's been out.
Well, you so do. It's like, it's right there.
I can't.
Like, he said that his thing was, don't be like that, people.
Yeah.
You know, Melissa McBride has been a key figure in the Walking Dead franchise for over a decade at this point, playing Carol from season one all the way to the end. That's an incredible achievement. Let's respect her decision to take a break.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, we don't know what goes, what's the trigger for this. I mean, it could be, you know, that it's, that she needs a break, but like what I thought about with it, it says logistically untenable, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, that sounds like someone who has family who can't leave the family to go to Europe. If I had to guess, using those two words together makes it sound like, you know, it's like when someone can't take a job because it means moving, you know, and
right.
Essentially that's what we're talking about here. If they're shooting the show in Europe and, you know, something's come up that's big, you know, maybe she's got sick, you know, maybe, you know, her mother's ill, or, you know, has got a disease, or, you know, or maybe something, you know, maybe she's got a health problem herself. It's not something that she can do. So,
and let's look at it logically.
Right.
They've been filming in Georgia.
Right.
And Georgia is stateside.
Right.
So if your family, you know, kind of moved to Georgia while you were filming, you're still with your family. And when you're not filming, you go home.
And in the case of Melissa McBride, she lived in Georgia prior to The Walking Dead, I believe. I don't think it was a question of her moving to Georgia for the movie or for the TV show. I believe she was actually in Georgia, in Atlanta prior to the show. Like, she was actually mostly working as a casting director prior to landing the role.
Yeah. Well, either way, I mean, you think about it, that you're going to spend, 9 months in the Czech Republic. You know, that's a little bit further away than if you live in Marietta and you're filming in Atlanta.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And whatever it is, you know, am I disappointed? Well, sure I am. But,
right.
You know, it's one of those deals. We were, you know, nobody jumped on the bandwagon that I remember screaming when Lauren Cohen went off to do Whiskey Cavalier. And nobody was really screaming and hollering hateful things at, I can't remember her name. But nobody was mad at Michonne when she started doing Marvel movies.
Yeah, and I think in her case it was a step up. So I don't think people could blame Denai Guerrera for doing that. You know, a lot of people were upset when Andrew Lincoln left the show. I think a lot of people are still upset that Andrew Lincoln left the show. You know, and
well, it's like, and these people have been doing this for so long that it's kind of like things change, you know. It's like, it's as long as this series has been going, you know,
for all we know, I mean, for all we know, maybe one of the reasons why this show is being shot in Europe is, and they haven't announced it yet, but maybe they're bringing back Andrew Lincoln. You know, and Andrew Lincoln said, well, I can do the show if we do it in Europe, you know, and they've, you know, decided to maybe shelve the movie and they would do a TV show. And maybe that's why, you know, and for whatever reason, but like I say, that maybe originally they weren't going to do the show in Europe, but when that came up and they decided not to do the movie and they decided to do the show with him, that maybe that's what happened. So maybe when she signed up, they weren't originally going to do this show in, you know, in Europe. And then when it came up, you know, she's like, I can't do it. So anyway,
remember, Brian, we still had that plot nugget in France with the fast walkers.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, right. You know, maybe that's got something to do with it.
And Andrew Lincoln, in France, that's a lot easier for him to do than Andrew Lincoln stateside, you know, because, you know, he's just got a, that's something he could go back and forth to England, you know, on a regular basis.
That's theoretical driving distance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep. Well, yeah, I mean, hopefully that we get a little bit more news, kind of. Go, you know, give us a little bit more info, because I mean that would be interesting. I mean, we did get that little clip with the, you know, French scientist or the fast walker or whatever. So right. I mean,
and whatever the case is, you know, that doesn't diminish my love of her character any.
Oh gosh, no.
And
none.
You know, I'll be the first to say that sometimes you have to do what's best for you. And we have to be, you know, we have to be adults about it and realize that, you know, sometimes we can't get everything we want. And you know,
yeah, exactly. Yep. That is something that I think a lot of people don't always realize, that, you know, actors have families, right? It's like actors have personal lives, and you don't always get to see them, you know, through an entire, you know, 11 season show, because they've got families and, you know, they miss them and they're growing up and all that stuff. And I'm of course thinking of Andrew Lincoln in the example, but going to Melissa McBride, I'm sure that's why I say it. When I hear Untenable, I think family situation or something, or that's not what she agreed on. When she took it, you know, she took it with the belief, or, you know, like something changed. That's what I think. Anyway, but there's no way to know. I'm sure we'll eventually know what the story is, but that's what I'm thinking of this.
Yeah. And the last bit of news is about the Maggie and Negan spinoff. Gaius Charles from Friday Night Lights and Grey's Anatomy has joined the cast of Isle of the Dead. And it was the article from that I saw, it was like, kind of give a synopsis, I guess. It's like when they reach New York City, they find that while demolished, it isn't abandoned. And so now we know of one person that they will meet. And Guy Charles has joined the cast as Pearly Armstrong, who is described as confident, ruthless, and unyielding in the pursuit of what he believes is justice, with the force of his will and his menace. Pearly enjoys his work and interspecies humor with the terror he incites. Above all, he's a family man devoted to providing safety for his wife and daughters. So that's another little casting nugget of what's going to come in the Isle of the Dead. All right. Well, that was all the news that I had. And I didn't know if you guys had any other tidbits that if you saw something on Twitter or nothing, this is just all I could find online real quick today. I was trying to get more news.
No.
Well, still with the other things they've shown for Tales of the Walking Dead, that's going to be kind of exciting to see what that just shows up. And we've got, you know, Negan and Maggie show is still coming. And we don't know. They're, you know, as they've said, they've still threatened us with some other Rick Grimes movies. So we don't know. There's probably going to be more zombies in the future for us to watch.
Yes, I would agree. I feel like the Tales of the Walking Dead is kind of going to be something that's going to be recurring that they can keep.
And from what all the indications I've heard, that if, you know, they have some pairing or some scenario that gets a lot of traction, then they may spin a show off of that.
Off of that, yeah. Yep.
It's always possible.
All right. Well, LT, you want to tell people how to interact with us?
All right. We want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. That's at Walking Dead TTM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group. That's facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadTTM. You can send us email. That's walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com. You can also utilize our feedback forum. That's found at talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. You can leave us voicemail. Just call area code 216-232-6146. Remember that that's only about 3 minutes. Also, all of our new episodes are on YouTube. Just search for Talk Through Media and remember to subscribe and click that bell to get notified when we have new videos. Those videos go out first before the podcast does.
And to support us, like and review the Talk Through Media Facebook page at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. The best way you can support us is in our Patreon, and you can find that at patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. And we would like to thank our Patreon supporters, Renee Murray, Dieta Patterson, the guy over there, Lawrence Todd, and me, Kyle McAdams. Remember that Dieta and Renee will be getting an early version of this episode this week. And you can subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or your podcast client of choice. And while you're there, give us a rating or review. You can also leave us a review at podchaser.com, and there you can actually rate individual episodes or the whole podcast. And as always, remember to share our posts on Facebook and Twitter when we post them, or tell a friend. Word of mouth is the best way to get us new listeners. What else can be listened to on Talk Through Media?
Well, of course, we have just recently finished all the episodes. Well, we were behind, but we just recently finished all the episodes of Star Trek Discovery Season 4. Ruthie and I finished that. We are currently working through Star Trek Picard Season 2. We're still behind on that, but we're about halfway through our recordings of the episodes. We should have episodes 2 and 3 coming out this week, and possibly see episode 4. That's been recorded as well. And then, of course, from there, we still have to do 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and the finale, episode 10, is this week. Kim substituted for Ruthie this week, so that was for season 4, and then we still got to do the rest. But as far as the next thing we're doing is the Star Trek Strange New Worlds. I don't know if we're going to call it the Star Trek Strange New Worlds talk through or the Star Trek Strange New Worlds podcast. I don't know. What do you guys think? Should we call it the talk through? I'm thinking we should call it talk through, but yeah.
Yeah, I kind of like agree with that. Strange New Worlds talk through.
The Strange New talk through.
Strange New.
Or maybe talking through Star Trek Strange New Worlds. Is a variation I was thinking of, but
I think that would work.
Yeah. Anyway, So we're going to do that. And we were just talking about it prior to us recording. And since we're still kind of figuring it out, but I believe LT is going to be one of the hosts of it. So we're maybe doing a three host setup for Strange New Worlds, and LT has agreed to join us up on that. So he's been dying to talk Star Trek again.
The Star Trek Crash Davis is coming off the bench.
We love to have you. Of course, you know, the three of us do the Lower Decks podcast, and that's been a lot of fun for us to do. So, that's coming up. That show starts on the 5th, and we will be keeping current with that. We're not going to wait until we get Picard done. We are going to start right into Strange New Worlds. We're all really excited about that show. Anson Mount, Ethan Peck, and Rebecca Romijn, and all the other cast and characters, you know, playing some of them iconic, you know, characters, and some we've never heard of. But it just looks like it's going to be an amazing you know, throwback, modernized Star Trek. And, I can't wait. So that's the newest thing we got going. And, I think at some point, I think Prodigy will be back. Might be this summer. I don't know. Of course, Lower Decks will be back, sometime after Strange New Worlds is done. So. Yeah, and I imagine that we'll be covering Tales of the Walking Dead here. So, have they given a start date for that yet?
They have not.
They have not.
But it's
got to be soon.
I'm figuring if they follow their general course, if we look at main show coming back like late September, October-y, I'm kind of putting my money on Tales coming out maybe mid-July.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give them, what, a couple of months downtime?
Yeah, and it's 6 episodes, so, I mean, it'll just be a month and a half. A run.
Right. Because I think that's sort of what they did before when they did the sort of thing. Because we know that Fear should be back in the winter after the main show.
Yeah.
Because I think it was like January-ish when it kicked off.
Yeah.
January-ish, February-ish. So.
And it's also worth saying, of course, that rebinged DS9, I should say rebinged Deep Space Nine, since I was able to podcast with Kim, that's how they refer to themselves. So rebinge Deep Space Nine is going strong. It's been, you know, they're past their episode 100. So that's also part of the network. And you can get all of those on the Talk Through Media all inclusive feed. All the Star Trek podcasts are part of the Facebook group. So that's at facebook.com/groups/ Star Trek TTM podcasts with a S on the end.
All right, well, next week we will be covering Fear the Walking Dead Season 7, Episode 12, called Sunny Boy. Written by Justin Boyd and Jacob Pinion, directed by Ron Underwood. And the description from AMC Plus is, Dory Sr. searches for baby Mo as Strand grows increasingly paranoid. Ooh. So we get to see Strand. And there's missing baby. Yeah. Yay. All right, so until next time, I'm Kyle.
I'm Brian.
And I'm LT.
And this is Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.